Welcome to Sex, Psychics, and Psychedelics, Discovering Inner Liberation. My name is Banana Jane Garnett. I'm a licensed psychotherapist, a lover of freedom, and a relentless explorer of the mind. Please come join me on my journey in hot pursuit of inner illumination and liberation. For more about me, you can find me at The Banana Jane on Instagram. Now let's dive in. My next guest is Carolyn Swift Jones, a bright, welcoming light and an extremely evolved being. Carolyn is a spiritual mediator and an intuitive counselor at the Guiding Circle. She's also the spiritual leader of a metaphysical church called Unity in the Foothills, which she describes as a church of new thought. Today I speak with Carolyn about identity, connection, and understanding spirituality. I'm so delighted to have her here with me, and also to meet a minister undeterred by the concept of sex, psychics, and psychedelics.
How are you today?
I am well. I am a little on the tired side. I've been doing sessions nonstop,
and
my Friday at this time, I always feel a little bit like a balloon that's slowly.
Yeah, wilting. So, how many sessions have you done this week? Are we talking about one-on-one?
One-on-one. I usually do 10, but this week was a little more full. Sometimes 3 a day, and so at this point, I have that lovely feeling of,
yes, letting the week go. You've shown up, and I imagine you've really helped people. I just want to get, before we get into the kind of, well, it's all juicy, but you know, I love depth. But so before we get into that sort of deep and juicy stuff, I'd love to get oriented for people listening on the different, because I know you wear some, I don't know if they're different hats, but I know you do some, there are different aspects of your work. So can I leave that to you to explain?
Oh, sure. So I am, my day job is I'm an intuitive counselor. And that is the people find me for that work through the Guiding Circle. And that's a work that I've been doing, oh gosh, now for almost 30 years, I think.
Wow. What is the Guiding Circle?
The Guiding Circle is the name of the intuitive counseling that I do, but it also refers to what I believe about all of us. I believe that each and every one of us has a guiding circle of loving energies, and that we are a part of that guiding circle. We are also a part of guiding circles of loving energies for other people.
So I'm trying to get the visual of this. Is this one massive circle? Like, sort of, is it ripples on the lake? Is it intersecting circles? How does it look?
Indeed, it is one massive circle with lots of intersecting circles. All of these guiding circles, everybody's guiding circle is, I believe, seamlessly a part of the enormous circle of consciousness that we are. And so that's why I called it the guiding circle. Also, because when I would go into meditation as a young woman, I also had often had the sensation that, oh, wow, there's a circle of people here, and I'm just a part of this circle. I'm not in the center of it. I'm a part of this guidance.
And what is in the center of a circle?
I believe love is in the center of the circle.
I was going to say space, but maybe it's a space in which love can exist.
I think it is love for me. Love is the glue that holds everything together. Love is also, I mean, in theological terms, we might say love is the activity of God. It's the Holy Spirit or the whole spirit. It's the movement of consciousness, and it's a movement of consciousness with an urge to merge.
Yeah.
So it's loving urge to merge. that I believe is at the center of the circle, saying, merge with me, be one with me, merge with me.
Mm. Wow, that's okay. We went deep quick. I knew we it. Went I knew quick. It was going to happen. The combination of us, it was just going to be a disaster. it's amazing. And I want to talk more about love. It's funny you should say it, because I was just thinking, you know, what's at the center of this circle of sex, psychedelics, and psychics, which, you know, to me, they're all fun ways to explore the same thing, which is, yeah, opening into a sense of more love and more freedom, more openness. To me, those things are really, they're intersecting circles for me. But I'm going to go back to this orientation because there's the one-on-one intuitive readings, and then you're a reverend as well.
I am. I am a minister.
A minister. So impressive.
I am the spiritual leader of Unity in the Foothills in Torrington, Connecticut. Mm. Unity in the Foothills is aligned with Unity Worldwide Ministries, which is under the umbrella of New Thought.
Oh.
New Thought religion is basically any spiritual pathway in which there's very little dogma and lots of room for new thought.
Yay! I'm so happy to hear this. Sounds like music to my ears. I love new thought.
So new thinking, new thought. And part of Unity's, what Unity brings to the table is new thinking, new thought about scripture and about traditional spiritual paradigms, which Unity brings a new thought to. So for instance, we follow in the footsteps and we admire and love our older brother, Jesus, but we don't think of him as our savior. We have a new thought, and that is that we are our savior.
I was hoping you were going to say that. Yay, good. Yeah, only yeah. We can save us.
Yes, it's a pathway that is, somebody said this today, it's not for sissies. You know, because it asks a lot of personal accountability.
Yeah.
So there's no room for the victim, and there's no room to blame others or shame others or be blamed or shamed. So that's the other half of my life, is ministering to a congregation of Unity people. And delivering a Sunday message to them, being available for teaching classes, and for prayer, for consultation. But they are very different jobs.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
I mean, I can see at a glance, one's a big group of people, the other's one-on-one, but how else?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. This indeed is one of my most favorite things to talk about. Basically, because when I'm working one-on-one with someone, I have no idea what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I've received a download before I work with someone, and I have, you know, in front of me some notes that I've heard, but they're just scribbles on the page. They don't become alive until I'm working with someone, and then we don't know where that activity of love, where that glue of love is going to take us.
Okay, so wait a second. So notes on a page come from...
So before I work with somebody, I go into meditation, I write their name down. I use these little notebooks.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I like those. Those are good. Yeah.
Wonderful. And I write their name down and the date and the time, and then I write down four archangels' names, Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, and Uriel, and above their name, and that lifts their name up to the level of the angelic. Oh. And then above the angels, the archangels' names, I write Eya Asher Eya, which is Hebrew for I am that I am. And that's God's name or loving consciousness's name is essentially I am.
What does I am that I am mean? I don't really understand that.
Oh, that's a wonderful story. So when Moses encountered God in the burning bush in the Hebrew Bible, he's having this incredible meeting with the divine, and he says, "Who should I tell people? What's your name?" Because all gods at that time had a name, and they had very distinct sort of names having to do with God of the mountain or God of the river,
right.
God of fertility or whatever.
Serious stuff, serious godly stuff, yeah.
And this encounter brought forward a very different name. And the name was, I am that I am, which is the name of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
It's my name is I am that I am, and so is your name.
Now I finally know what my name is. I've been searching all these years.
Have you really?
That's another name. Conversation, but now I know how to introduce myself.
Okay,
that's awesome. I am that I am.
One of the glorious things about this name, I am, is that we have this gorgeous thing called free will to create in any way we want, will to imagine in any way we want. So I could tell you that my name is I am love.
Mm-hmm.
So I write above the person's name to bring my awareness to the knowing that I am working with a being whose center is in the very I am of the universe.
Mm. Beautiful.
And that opens me. And then I start to hear for that particular soul things. And what I hear is all over the map. It could be a year here, a past life, could be a
hearing,
sound.
Hearing words.
Sometimes it is an audio experience. Like sometimes there is an actual voice, like disembodied, but that is very rare. Most of the time, it's a hearing that is behind the ear and in what I call in the medulla oblongata, the part of the brain that is reptilian and very sensitive to vibration. And it is a vibration that I can take and translate into a number or a word.
Oh, so it comes, it's not words as we would know them, as
no.
I would know them.
And this is what takes practice, practice, practice. So imagine if a musician is hearing, or composer is hearing a note, hearing a vibration, hearing a note, and then is able to translate that vibration into an actual note on the piano that has resonances and chords, and then he's able to build a melody from that. But he's starting, and she is starting, with vibration.
Wow. I love this. So cool.
Oh, it is so cool, because everything vibrates. Everything and everyone, we're all vibrating. So then my job is about translating vibration into a system, into a vocabulary, into word or number that is designed for this particular soul that I'm working with. And there, I got to step back, because there's where I would say my guiding circle steps in and uses words and phrases and numbers that will mean something for this particular person.
And you have no idea what it relates to. Just taking dictation.
Right. I'm a secretary.
Yeah.
And
secretary for boss is spirit, love. How would you?
I would say a secretary for spirit.
Secretary.
Yes.
Amazing. And lucky spirit.
And this is what the joy is, because I truly do not know what's going to happen in a session. I just know that my job is to bring in what I've heard. And then there is this beautiful, beautiful triune movement between the person I'm working with, me, and what I want to call the collective, and the person that I'm working with, endowed with free will, endowed with the ability to freely create, freely conceptualize, often takes things where I didn't know we were going there. And that's where it's quite thrilling.
Mm.
And different from my work as a minister, because when I plan a church service, I sure know what's happening.
Right, you're not just letting the Holy Spirit come through you and rolling with it. Yes. Yeah, yeah, I see that. You're not a channel, you're more of a teacher. I mean, I guess the channeling does keep you open, I imagine, to the greater mystery and the beauty of spiritual life.
It does, but you're right. It is more about teaching.
Yeah, they complement each other, the two pieces.
Yes. What I am constantly humbled and amazed and learning from every session. Every session teaches me more about the evolution of spirit and about consciousness. So I learn a steady amount. I got a steady diet.
Mm-hmm.
I learn. So when it comes to bringing in what we call the lesson for Sunday, not the sermon, but the lesson,
mm-hmm.
I bring in a lot of what I've learned.
What do you mean by the evolution of, I think you said the evolution of spirit?
I'm so glad you asked.
Can you always be on my show? I love it when you say, I'm so glad you asked. Very nice. Very nice.
I really am so glad you asked. The universe not only conspires to merge, but it also is always conspiring. The merging brings about a new evolution. And we know this from when men and women reproduce, they bring about a new evolution. I believe that we are always, always participants in the new child, the next step, which is why for me, dogmas of the past don't resonate as much.
I feel you. It's this may seem like really out of left field, but I was just talking to someone who was a sex educator, and she was talking about how we need more, you know, more and better sex education for kids. And, you know, I couldn't agree more. I have two daughters, but also what I'm witnessing is the world changing at such warped speed that I can't really teach them. At this stage, 10 and 14, I can bring in some principles. I can bring in a little bit of information. I can invite curiosity. I can invite, you know, qualities. I can bring qualities into the picture, but I cannot say where to go. It's like we're on a high wire, you know. If we rely too much on the past, then we're not really in the potential of the future. But if we ignore the past, then we're, I don't know. I think ignoring the past, it feels like disrespect to me. It is what we've been given. It is where we get to, make meaning. It's a repository of information and experience that we can kind of cultivate and grow meaning out of.
Yeah, I love the way you're describing this. I like to think of the past as an alphabet.
Okay. Tell me more.
Okay. So an alphabet of agreed upon, you know, letters. But what I do in the present moment with those letters may really deviate from what someone yesterday did with those letters. The letters or the notes may be the same, but the opportunity in the present to take them, recombine them, make a new language is what I find fascinating. And I agree, I like the idea of the past as a repository, but I also think of it as a jumping off.
It's a springboard.
Springboard.
Yes.
And what comforts me is what I notice, what I am noticing is that evolution happens whether we like it or not. It is happening.
And evolution is the movement towards something better, or is it just movement with its own plan that we can't even, you know, say anything about, or we can try, but would be fools?
Here's how I think of evolution. Okay, you know this too. Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
I do.
How I wonder what you are. Evolution. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. Oh my goodness, how I wonder. How I wonder what you are. Up above, the sky high. Sky so high. Sky so high. Evolution takes a pattern and builds on it. So it's the same stuff, the same universe, the same stuff of consciousness, but adding in new thoughts, for one, evolution is a new thought, and resonating thoughts that build on what you have.
Yes, yes.
And move and shift it.
Yes. Yeah. Do you know Ken Wilber?
I know that name, and I don't know why.
He's a kind of consciousness explorer, and one of the sort of main kind of tenets of his, he was very ambitious, you know, mapping out consciousness, and one of the tenets is transcend and include, which made me think of, you know, your description made me think of that.
Ah, that's lovely. I do love that. We say both and,
yes. Okay, so I'm going to get back to your clients and your practice. And what are people coming to you for? What are you seeing mostly?
I have to be honest, it runs the gamut. Some people are coming because they're in grief and they want to know that their loved ones are still alive.
Do you do mediumship?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 Many people come because they've lost direction and they want to get a sense of what would be a fulfilling path.
Yeah.
Many people there. A lot of people come because their hearts are broken, either due to relationship or due to childhood trauma. And some people come just because they're curious.
Yeah.
And those are the most fun to work with.
Yes, yes. Well, I'm definitely curious. I came to you, and I think probably out of a mixture of curiosity and you know, other things. I mean, for me, at this point, it's always a mixture of sort of continuing to heal the old and original heartbreaks and also learning and growing and following curiosity and always, probably in my case, pretty greedily looking for more inspiration. And I love the, to me, it's such an expansive and creative landscape, that the sort of the psychic landscape. And I know that the psychic word carries some baggage with it, but I love this, the sort of metaphorical and symbolic potential. I've been thinking about, as we've been talking, I've had one reading with you, and you and I had never met before, and it was beautiful and surprising, and some things really kind of made sense in a sort of literal way. And there was this one image that, it's been interesting because I still can't kind of place its meaning, but I feel its value. And it was an image you had of, I think it was of me, and I think it was a past life, and it was this image of this. You said that I was a small guy very small in very beautiful armor. And I had this very strong armor, and you said something about it. I mean, no pressure to remember this at all. That's not why I'm bringing this up. I'm just bringing it up kind of for curiosity and fun, and because it's there. But and you were looking at it and you were curious and you said, oh, you know, I'm not normally a fan of armor, but in this case, it just works and it's right. And anyway, so I've just had this sort of image with me of this beautiful little guy in this perfect suit of armor, and I like it. I don't know what exactly it refers to in my own sort of immediate life, but I find it to have a sort of poetic resonance. And there's something in it, maybe if I had to kind of go more kind of therapist-y on this, of like, or maybe more woo-woo, I'm a Cancer, I feel I'm very sensitive, I would like to have more armor, and yet at the same time, my path is actually a path of unarmoring and being vulnerable. So I don't know, that little guy in his perfect suit of armor feels like a nice ally.
Oh, boy, I think you hit the nail on the head. Because I don't remember people's sessions, and yeah, I don't remember that image. But as I was tuning into it, I got something very similar, that the armor is the agreed upon garment? Wear a garment.
Garment, yes. Okay.
A garment, yeah, to wear on earth. It's your earth garment. And it's a place to rest in. A place to rest.
It's armor that's it's like non-defensive armor. Is there such a thing?
I would think so, yes. It is... one word I'm hearing right now is it's casual armor.
You and I need to have another session to actually like design this thing and get it made, because I think it, you know, we need to. I want the suit. I want it hanging in my closet. So I want to hear about your path. How did you come to this? This line, can we call it a line of work? How did you come to this circle of work?
Oh, I love the question, and I'm going to tell you a story. There's a story, yeah, that goes with it. I mean, really, it started when I was very young, but I had no idea what was going on. I just thought everybody had beautiful, angelic-looking beings coming into their room, and I had one in particular who is still with me, although it's been a long time since I've seen her. But I used to see her when I was around 4 years old.
So this started when you were 4?
Yeah, yeah. And there was never anything said. She just put her hand over me. I called her the lady dressed in light, because she had so much light coming out of her. And I was always very curious about her and wondered who she was. And time went on, but she was this beacon or call within me, always reminding me that I was more than a third dimensional being, that I was much more than that. And it always felt like that from when I was little, that I had one foot on the earth plane and one foot in fourth dimension. And I struggled with that, and my poor family struggled to understand me with that. And then things began. I was originally an actress. That was what I started off in life to do. And I would inevitably find myself drawn to somebody who had a physical challenge. And I would just, without having any training, with no knowledge of what I was doing, kind of put my hand up by their body and just feel energy going through, and then they would be healed. And so I began to experience myself first as a healer. And in my how old am I now? 66. Oh gosh, I've been doing this for a long time. In my late 20s, I kind of, word got out that this woman's a healer. And so I started working with people. You know, they would come to my house. Again, I had no training. And there were some very significant healings. There was a healing from cancer. There were some very significant healings. And then one day a woman came and her children brought her to me and they told me she only has 2 weeks to live. And I wonder what my job is here. And she came and lay down on my couch, beautiful African-American woman with the most beautiful spirit. I put my hand over her to do the work, and all of a sudden, all I could see was this gorgeous, very tall African man standing in the room. And I had no experience with giving messages, and I was embarrassed and didn't know what to do. And finally, this woman looked up at me, and she said, "What's wrong, honey? You look like you're about to pass out." And so I kind of... You know, I got my courage together and I said, well, there's a man here and he's very, very tall and he's holding a platter of food. And she burst into tears and she said, "Daddy." Oh. And it was her father. She'd grown up on a chicken farm. He never said, "I love you," but he always brought in a platter of fried chicken every Friday night to show the family he loved them. And her question coming to me was, "What's heaven going to be like? Are there going to be a lot of pasty white people there?" Well, here's me, a pasty white person. And here's her dad. And it was exactly what she needed to hear. And she left radiantly happy. She did make her transition 2 weeks later, but she made it in peace. And that was when I knew I want to work not just with healing of body, but healing of spirit. And I basically left the healing of body. I said to spirit, "I don't think I'm interested in that anymore." And so very, very slowly, I was taught, I was given exercises from spirit. Years and years later, I went to the United Metaphysical Church's seminary, which trains mediums. And years later, I got, you know, official professional training. But for a very long time, I just worked on instinct.
So you had sort of, in meditation, you would receive direct insight in terms of how to grow and how to develop your skills?
Yes. Do we want to hear one of the gifts that they brought me?
Yes, please.
Okay. And I share this with many clients because many of my clients are budding mediums. And so I always want to encourage their mediumship. But years and years ago, this one was about 30 years ago, spirit brought me, I call it the Mozart exercise. So with the Mozart exercise, and they, you know how Mozart has a very complicated melody here, up here, and then down below we have that slow, steady bass. And what spirit said to me was, put Mozart on and tell yourself you're not going to listen to that complicated melody. You're going to go down into the bass and listen for the lowest note possible. And you're not going to listen with your ears. You're going to listen from your medulla, oblongata, behind your ears.
Okay, so the medulla is, it's behind your ears, but like drop down or further round towards like the nape of your neck?
As I understand it, it's kind of back in this area.
Okay. Yeah. So you're feeling your way into this, because it's, I mean, for me now, right, that's like a blind spot. I would have to sort of like feel my way into that.
Oh, then this exercise is wonderful for you.
Oh, really?
Because okay. What will happen quite naturally for you, I wish we had some Mozart right now because we could do this.
Let's do it. Do you have a, I can do it here.
And before it comes up, what I'm going to counsel you to do is tell yourself, my job is to listen for the very lowest note, which will come and go. And you're going to listen from back here. Let's try it and see how you do.
Okay.
How you doing, Jim?
Okay.
How you doing?
Oh, great. I forgot I was doing a podcast. I was starting to have like a psychedelic experience.
Good. Okay. Tell me what you were experiencing.
I don't even know how to put it into words. I was becoming more vibrationally aware, and I felt like more of a kind of spatial, it was like space was growing and I could feel the space between the notes. And it was sort of like I was in an ocean and I was going towards the bottom of the ocean, but I could see the top of the ocean. And so it felt like I was starting to be able to travel spatially within the music.
Perfect.
Did I do good?
You did so well. Now,
okay,
let's take this one step further. I always tell everybody, practice with this until it hurts, until you start to ache back there, and then stop. Usually that's about 5 minutes. Okay?
And it starts to physically ache.
And then stop. The reason why this is so useful and so exciting, and why I'd be ever grateful to my team and spirit for bringing it to me, so useful. When we're listening to that lowest note, what we are opening to is what I like to call the foundational note of the universe, the base note, the Om, the I Am, the sound of the Big Bang, the let there be light. That's what we're opening to, the foundational note of the universe, and all other notes are built on top of that. And this is where we begin to see, I always say, I love working this way intuitively, because everybody has a unique poem, a unique spiritual fingerprint that's like a poem. It's their energies. And those beautiful poetic energies are based on that foundational note, the Om.
So the Om is there, that's everyone's base note, and then we pattern differently around it. Is that it?
Yeah. Yes.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Wow, gosh, I love this. I didn't know I was going to learn so much today. And I got homework.
I hope you don't mind. I am making you work here, but
are you kidding? I love it. How long do I have to work? Like a few, like a year? 3 months?
With Mozart exercise? Mm. 3 months. Give yourself 3 months.
Okay. All right. So you had this phase where you were given the Mozart exercise. Wait, who gave you that exercise?
My spiritual team.
Your what?
My spiritual team. My guiding
team. Spiritual. Your team. So the team. The lady. What was her name? The Lady of Light. The
Lady dressed in light.
The Lady dressed in light. She was the first member of the team, and then others joined.
Well, not joined, but I became aware of. It had always been there, but she, and she has a name. Her name is Lady Nada, and she's well known to lots of people. Lady Nada. You can actually Google her, and you'll see a lot of people have seen her and they draw her. And I've never been interested in other people's pictures of her. I just remember what I saw in her face. But yes, there are many, and I'm not unusual. All of us have guiding circles, and they all expand and then contract and then expand again. And then at certain points, depending on what you are going through,
yes,
your awareness is ready to receive that vibration. We notice that when people are in mourning, particularly when parents have lost a child, and it's the hardest mourning that there is, that their field fills with angels.
Yes.
And many times, I mean, I believe that we have a certain core group, if you will. This is your core, your team. But that enlarge, that will grow or shrink depending.
Yeah, so we know that there's this relationship between spirituality and suffering. I think we know that. I feel I know that, but I don't know. I mean, that's, for me, the lessons have been about going through shadow, personal shadow, seeing parts of myself that I don't like, hanging in there with difficult moments until light starts to appear. But then I guess there's another kind of access to spirituality, which is just joy, I guess.
I think that everything is spiritual, and that we are spiritual all the time, whether we know it or not.
Whether we like it or not. That's funny.
Exactly. That's funny.
Yeah.
But that what suffering does is it brings very clearly into our consciousness the areas that need to be healed.
Yeah.
In order for us to feel at one.
Yeah.
If I'm joyful, I'm aware that I am joyful. If I'm sorrowful, I'm aware that I'm sorrowful. Just that awareness, what some people call the observer, just that awareness. And then integrating that awareness so that we walk that way. So I'm having some beautiful, blissful thoughts. Look at that.
Yeah. Well, I'm aware that I'm feeling very grateful right now.
Oh, nice.
Yes, I feel so grateful. It feels like such a privilege to be here with you and to have this kind of conversation, which is so after my own heart, and to be learning from someone who is further along on this path than me. And it's I love learning, so I'm thrilled. I'm really happy. And I'm aware that I'm aware that you also have had a really long week, and I don't want to keep you too long, but I'm not going to let you go quite yet, because I suppose there's two more things I would love to ask you about, and I'll lay out both questions and then you can decide how you want to answer them. But one would be, I'd love to hear what your growing edge is right now, where you're feeling, you know, the rock face, if you like, you know, where is it exciting? Where is it challenging? What are you currently kind of learning? And then I'd like to close with your prayer, your desire for yourself and for your work.
Oh, wonderful. I love these questions.
Good.
I really do.
Thank you.
I love these questions. Oh, my growing edge. I am always, always at my growing edge. My growing edge right now has to do with self-acceptance and trusting that I'm enough. That's my growing edge. Really working with that. When I was in the theater, I was never enough.
Yeah, sure.
And I work with this as a minister of a small community, often feeling like, oh, I'm not enough. So this is my growing edge, because when I have that thought of I'm not enough, I'm separating myself from my wholeness.
Yes, from your wholeness and your abundance and the terrific amount of love and support that you share with other people and that you give. And isn't it just a quintessentially human experience?
It's so human.
It's so human.
It is so human, and that my humanness is beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, that warts and all, that my humanness is enough and it's beautiful, and that there's no division between my humanity and my divinity, that they're one and the same.
Mm-hmm. That's a stretch sometimes.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. So that's my growing edge, and I'm so glad you asked, because it's great to say that out in public.
Thank you for being real. We like you real.
My dream for humanity is it's the same dream I have for all my clients. I like to say in the guiding circle work that I do, that my dream is to put myself out of work, because I would love for everybody to have the experience of being fully intuitive on their own. So when I leave the planet, I would love to know that lots of people found out how intuitive they are, and to trust that. I dream of a world where people trust that they are multidimensional beings, and that they are not just their physical bodies, but so much more. Because I think that when we know that we're multidimensional beings, it's so much easier to forgive. It's so much easier to let go of resentment, build bridges, make that leap into somebody else's shoes. We're so much more ready to be love when we know we're multidimensional, I think.
Well, I think too. I absolutely love your prayer, and I join you in it. I think that we're more beautiful and more brilliant and more human and more intergalactic than we know. And I think that's a really wonderful journey. And thank you for sending that message out there, along with some really good tips of how to do this. Practical tips of how to be brilliant. Like, who doesn't like that? I mean,
you're welcome. Oh, thank you for having me. This is what I love to do. It's my favorite thing in the world.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for the work that you're doing. Beautiful, brave work. Thank you.
Thank you, darling. Sending you so much love.
Sending it back.
Speaking with Carolyn, I was left with both inspiration and aspiration on the most simple level. I just wanted to be a better person. I never think that's a bad thing, do you? Carolyn genuinely brings out the best in us, certainly in me, and I can only imagine many, many others, with her encouragement and her humor and her extraordinary gift to connect to other dimensions. And I feel like if you can connect in a way that is multidimensional and come back from those many dimensions with reassurance and more love to share with other people, it provokes the question, shouldn't we all think and exist in a more multidimensional way? Wouldn't we be more reassured? Couldn't we reassure each other more? Or at least we could find more liberation
If you enjoyed listening, please spread the love by rating, reviewing, and sharing this podcast. Thank you so much. And until the next time.